So now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case in the witness box. Telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops. On the day that I got arrested, I'm innocent, I protested. She just feels rejected, had a heartbroken by someone she's obsessed with. Cause she likes the sound of my music, she makes her a fan of my music. That's why love goes down to music. She can't speak big enough for the jury be the same thing that I said to the cops. On the day that I got arrested, I'm innocent, I protested. She just feels rejected, had a heartbroken by someone she's obsessed with. Cause she likes the sound of my music, she makes her a fan of my music. That's why life goes down, makes her lose it. Cause she can't separate the mouth from the music. The eyes fixed on me like a murderer's. I'm saying all this in the stand. This is making me nervous, this has got bigger than I ever could have planned.
about the negative effects of the event on the people and places where the games are held.
We don't see the Olympics industry as being that much different than these other institutions that are unaccountable to the people of the world.
And Denver, the only city to ever turn down the Olympics. I'm George Lavender. Since the start of the modern Olympics in 1896, the Games have become a global event in which thousands of athletes from over 200 countries take part. For the host country, it's a chance to be called
the best Olympic Games ever.
Olympic officials say the event creates jobs and economic growth, but over the years, there has been growing concerns about the impacts the Games have on host communities. Among these are concerns about the massive security operation that has accompanied recent Games. With the eyes of the world on London for the 2012 Olympics, the responsibility for security rests on the shoulders of the London Metropolitan Police. But their approach to this huge event has been questioned, as Jesse Levine reports from London.
Rush hour in Newham, East London. Yep. Until recently, you wouldn't have found this area in any tourist guidebook. It's a poor neighbourhood, a landscape of warehouses, high-rise buildings and fast food outlets. But since 2005, when London won the bid to host the 2012 Olympic Games, this area has been changing fast. As one of the so-called Olympic boroughs of London 2012, Newham is currently undergoing a major facelift. Everyone has welcomed the changes.
It's not for us, is it? It's for rich people. So, you know, don't bother me, Olympics.
That's Newham teenager Alex. He's one of a growing number of local residents concerned about the unprecedented security operation which has accompanied the Games. Policing in Newham, says Alex, is unfair.
If you've got money, they probably help you out. But if you ain't got no money and you're a nobody, they ain't going to do nothing for you. When my bike got stolen or when I got attacked, they didn't do nothing about it. I'm sure if it was the other way around, I attacked someone or I stole someone's bike, I'm sure they would have done a lot more than what they've done for me.
The biggest peacetime operation in British history is how the London Metropolitan Police describes London 2012.
Hey there, everybody. Hey, it's Thursday night. That means it's the Furious George Hour as part of the micro-powered WCOM LP Chapel Hill experience, where we take a little piece of the airwaves and mix it up and try to send a big, giant, middle, furious finger out there to some topic. And this week, it obviously happens to do with the Ho-lympics. Also going to spice in some stuff from the new episode 22, DJ Nobody from Low End Theory Podcast, straight out of L.A. Some other good stuff, which probably requires that I say, the show may be offensive to some of you weenies, so put your seatbelt on. I'm furious! Shades on, way gone, switch full of that dang con. Yo swag, get dope tag, come correct to get banged on. Shades on, way gone, switch full of that dang con. Yo swag, get dope tag, come correct to get banged on. Shades on, I'm way
day gone. Swish a full of that dank crumb. Yo, swag, get toe tagged. Come correct to get banged on. If I'm breathing, I'll remain a threat to anything you put your name on. That said, go fuck yourself. Oh, you need some help? Game on. Roughneck, suspect. I don't play, I'm busting heads. That's your plate, I'm about to scrape. That's your game, I'm fucking next. Lord knows I ain't the one to test. Used to slay that Caitlyn. Lost up, I got the shit. Now Bob Brady can't say shit. And my fans act like fiends when I play some songs on my playlist. So-called friends go enemy. To my so-called friends, y'all ain't shit. Fans act like fiends when I play some tracks on my playlist. So-called friends go enemy. To my so-called friends, y'all ain't shit.
Has been airing wall-to-wall coverage of the games. Little attention has been paid to what has taken place just outside Olympic Park. In the latest crackdown on dissent, London police arrested 182 people Friday for taking part in the monthly critical mass bike ride. The ride took place during the Olympics opening ceremony. The cyclists say they were kettled by police and held overnight. One of those arrested was a 13-year-old schoolboy. Another was a protester who identified herself as Melanie.
She'd want to stamp out dissent. That's why I was arrested. And John Carlos, who's an Olympic hero, came to speak in London a short while ago, and he got us to... During his talk, he got us to repeat, "I am not afraid of offending my oppressor." So I'd just like to do that right now, really, because I think that's really important, that we're not silenced by heavy-handed authorities. A right to do this in a democratic society. We ought to be able to challenge. And it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate that people are treated as criminals for speaking the truth, is what it comes down to.
In Newham, you can't miss the heightened security. Miles of electric fencing ring the Olympic.
From the minute I sort of turned up at the start here and rolled down the ramp, it was just incredible, the noise, and obviously that I had to really focus on my effort and not get carried away with the moment and not go out too fast on to my, you know, a schedule that I have to ride. And
London that's riding cabs at the moment.
They should have actually targeted the warnings a lot more clearly. Stay out of a certain area at a certain time, rather than just putting out a general message and advising people working from home to work from home over the emergency period.
My oppressor. So I'd just like to do that right now, really, because I think that's really important that we're not silenced by heavy-handed authorities.
The Games have become a global event in which thousands of athletes from over 200 countries take part. For the host country, it's a chance to be called
the best Olympic Games ever.
Olympic officials say the event creates jobs and economic growth, but over the years, there has been growing concerns about the impact the Games have on host communities. About the massive security operation that has accompanied recent games. With the eyes of the world on London for the 2012 Olympics, the responsibility for security rests on the shoulders of the London Metropolitan Police. Doctor and saint, and heard great argument about all. But their approach to this huge event has been questioned, as Jesse Levine reports from London.
Rush hour in Newham, East London. Until recently, you wouldn't have found this area in any tourist guidebook. It's a poor neighbourhood, a landscape of warehouses, high-rise buildings and fast food outlets. But since 2005, when London won the bid to host the 2012 Olympic Games, this area has been changing fast. As one of the so-called Olympic boroughs of London 2012, Newham is currently undergoing a major facelift. New train stations and the largest shopping mall in Europe are just some of the new facilities.
In London, a short while ago, and he got us to, during the talk, he got us to repeat, "I am not afraid of offending my oppressor." So I'd just like to do that right now, really, because I think that's really important, that we're not silenced by heavy-handed authorities trying to stamp out any kind of dissent. You know, we have a right to do this in a democratic society. We ought to be able to challenge. And it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate that people are treated as criminals for speaking the truth, is what it comes down to. So, please repeat after me. I am not afraid of offending my oppressor.
I am not afraid of offending my oppressor.
London has rolled out its largest security operation since World War II. Approximately 18,200 armed forces personnel are now providing security for the Olympic Games, almost double the number of British troops serving in Afghanistan. Helicopters, fighter jets, bomb disposal units are all on standby. The Ministry of Defense has also attached missile launchers to roofs of some London residential buildings. London Mayor Boris Johnson defended the massive security operation.
We were always going to have loads of military personnel anyway, so that hasn't really changed. Plus, B, I don't personally. I think most people in this country don't have any objection at all.
Nobody in London that's riding cabs at the moment.
They should have actually targeted the warnings a lot more clearly. Stay out of a certain area.
We'll be right back.
at a certain time, rather than just putting out a general message and advising people working in London to work from home over the Olympics period.
The London Games of 2012 are literally a tale of two cities.
But not everyone has welcomed the changes.
It's not for us, is it? It's for rich people. So, you know, don't bother me, Olympics.
That's Newham teenager Alex. He's one of a growing number of local residents concerned about the unprecedented security operation which has accompanied the Games.
Seeing venues being properly invigilated by professional military arms services people.
Meanwhile, inside the Olympics, the London Organising Committee is trying to quell public outcry over the empty seats at Olympic venues. Thousands of fans were told the Games were sold out for years, while prime seats reserved largely for sports federations and corporate sponsors have remained empty.
In East London to do their favourite sports, the historical city centre has been mostly ignored.
It's been absolutely dire. We've never known such a bad period as the last 2 weeks. And it's all because people have been warned to stay out of central London. So there may be tourists around, but our regular business, which is what every restaurant relies on, is simply not around in London at the moment.
Sebastian Coe says he's trying to resolve the issue.
I don't want to see sweat in those seats empty. And that's why we will make sure where we possibly can that we get people into those seats as and when they're not being used.
Although many locals can't afford to attend the Games, this year's Olympics is estimated to cost the British taxpayers a staggering $17 billion. At the same time, residents near the Olympic Park have been subjected to sweeping censorship laws enacted by their government at the behest of the International Olympic Committee. The laws limit the use of Olympic language and imagery strictly to official sponsors such as Visa, McDonald's, and GE. Meanwhile, activists are outraged that the Olympics' long list of sponsors includes companies such as Dow Chemical and BP. They say the corporation's human rights records are at odds with the Olympic ideals of global peace and goodwill. We go now to London. We're joined by Jules Boykoff. He is Associate Professor of Political Science at Pacific University, visiting scholar at the University of Brighton, Arenas.
Right, so last weekend, the Counter-Olympics Network organized a large mobilization on last Saturday, where more than 1,000 people showed up from 50 different groups to protest what they see as the injustices around the Games. We took a march through some of the areas that are affected by the Olympics, walked through Bow Quarter, which includes a tall tower where some of those surface-to-air missiles that you mentioned are located. We saw army personnel peeking their heads over the top of the roof and looking down at us, kind of curiously. Moving on to the end, where there were speakers, some of which we heard from in your clips running into this. So I think it's important actually to take a step back before we think about the tickets and think about why people might be upset about the tickets in the bigger picture. And that is because people in London have paid for these Games and they definitely don't feel like they get what they're paying for.
Games are upon us.
Flying the flags of the world. Switzerland, Luxembourg, Bermuda, and the Cayman Islands. With the endurance of a marathon runner and the contortions of a gymnast, Mitt Romney is at the top of his game. Multi-million medalist Romney goes for the gold in the 1,244-kilometer offshore event and is the leading contender to win the freestyle evasion at the 2012 Games, with advantages that surpass any competitor or otherwise mortal human. Mitt has what it takes to dominate the tax avoidance decathlon and is expected to keep bringing home the gold for years to come. He's led the team to victory as captain, owner, CEO, and managing director. But this is not child's play. It is the ultimate sport. Because Mitt knows only a strong, driven businessman can excel at the presidency. Bain Capital is a proud sponsor of the 2012 Mittlympics. Join us in cheering our preferred competitor with every advantage.
Full of people, but as you can see, the square is half empty. It's just nobody's around.
But then you've been in London as a subject for a long time, and maybe
this is the middle of London in the middle of rush hour, and normally this place would be absolutely packed with traffic. Perhaps the pre-game's warnings from organizers have worked too well. They spoke of travel chaos.
Would not interfere with the event itself.
This isn't a security event, this is a sporting event with a security overlay, and we're there to support and assist and make sure that the event goes off safely. So the local policing will still remain the same. We still have local police for local issues, but it'll be enhanced to make sure it goes off smoothly.
But despite claims like this, the policing of Newham and the other Olympic boroughs is nonetheless causing concern amongst many local residents.
We're looking at a different policing situation this year. Our perception of the patterns that we're seeing is that there is something of a clean-up operation going on.
That's Estelle de Boulay, director of Newham Monitoring Project, a local anti-racist organisation. They're one of several groups who are monitoring the policing tactics that will be used during London 2012. One of those tactics is dispersal zones, which allows police officers to order any group of two or more people to leave a specified area. In May 2012, the London Metropolitan Police confirmed that a three-month dispersal zone had been put in place in the neighbourhood closest to the Olympic Park. But, says Inspector Wingate, the measure is unconnected to the Olympics.
There's no plans to put in the dispersal zones as per se, purely for the Olympics. If they have certain areas where there's a high rate, then it's a local crime tactic to do that. It's not just because the Olympics are coming here.
But others disagree. New monitoring projects say that dispersal zones are being used by the police to put much of East London on lockdown during the Games. And it's not the only tactic that's being used.
I have a son who's 15 years old, and he was recently stopped by the police.
His story reminded me very much of when I was younger. I said to him that he had to always make sure he was calm. Don't give them the excuse to, you know, to just abuse you. This is the reality of London life.
My experiences as a dad were fundamentally different from the experiences of black parents. Sucked into the criminal justice system, their whole behavior in the public space, I would suggest, is problematized and targeted.
Two fathers, the first black, the second white, speaking about stop and search. You heard first from Joseph Alexander, a resident of a public housing estate close to the Olympic Park. The second voice is playwright Dominic Taylor, author of Stop Search.
Won the bid for the games, they told their citizens that the games were going to cost about $3.5 billion. After that, the price tag catapulted as soon as they learned that they won the bid, pointing some people to say that, in fact, lowballing the costs and overhyping the benefits has become an Olympic sport in itself. Between 88 and 98% is being paid for by the British taxpaying public. So 88 to 98%. British taxpayers are told that this is a public-private partnership, but it's an extremely lopsided one at that. That's led to the question among people, for whom does this Olympics juggernaut boom? Moody's gave a really clear answer to that question in the lead up to the games when they issued a report that said, actually, there's really not going to be any long-term gain for Londoners from hosting the Olympics. But in the short term, Moody's said that the beneficiaries would be what they call corporates. Recently, Tony Blair, who was instrumental in getting the bid for London back in 2005, said, hey, you people questioning the games, just be quiet. This is going to be a, quote, gigantic schmoozathon. Well, it's clear that he was talking about the Moody's corporates when he was talking about that gigantic schmoozathon, because that... Schmoozeathon is not going to be for the people of Newham, one of the boroughs, one of the poorest areas in London, who's hosting the games. It's not going to be for the people of the Clays Lane estate, who were kicked out of their homes, some 400 plus of them, and had their places bulldozed to make way for Olympic venues. It's going to be for the corporates, and this is extremely painful in the context of European austerity. Serious budget cuts here in the UK, and they're none too happy about having to pay the price for this Olympic Games.
If you look around the city and you see who's getting stopped and searched, you notice that it's almost always black people.
Rebecca Del Sol of the Open Society Justice Initiative researches racial profiling by police across Europe, with a particular focus on the most common stop and search law in the UK, known as Section 60.
Looking at the figures for the last 2 years, since the peak in 2008, there does seem to be a reduction in Section 60, but what is particularly worrying about that is, despite the reduction in the numbers of Section 60, the disproportionality levels are getting higher. Black people are 37 times more likely to be stopped under this power, and Asian people 10 times more likely, which is the highest levels of disproportionality we've ever seen in this country.
In terms of the tickets, that's been especially painful because they've handed over large blocks of tickets to the international sports federations, to the corporate sponsors, and also to that International Olympic Committee. Huge blocks, millions of tickets that they apparently aren't using. Also, I should say, members of the media don't seem to be using their tickets as well. Meanwhile, there were tons of Londoners and people from around the country that applied to get tickets but were turned away. So people across the political spectrum are unhappy about the funding of the games and how that's now playing out in terms of ticketing.
Last Thursday, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney drew a bit of controversy in Britain after he questioned the country's preparedness to host the Olympic Games. Romney was speaking to NBC's Brian Williams in London.
There are a few things that were disconcerting. The stories about the private security firm not having enough people, the supposed strike of the immigration and customs officials, that obviously is not something which is encouraging. Because in the games, there are three parts that make games successful. Number one, of course, are the athletes. That's what overwhelmingly the games are about. Number two are the volunteers.
Laughing at him, basically. He was pilloried in the press, from the right-wing Daily Mail to the left-wing Guardian. My favorite one has to be from the Evening Standard, where they refer to him as, quote, the American Borat, in response to the Sacha Baron Cohen character. So you mentioned Cameron came out and spoke strongly against him. So did Boris Johnson in a public space. So has Jeremy Hunt, the conservative culture minister. And what's interesting to me about this is that these are conservative politicians who are speaking out against Romney.
Did their Olympics operation total policing, perhaps an effort to reassure the world that it won't be seeing a repeat of last summer's civic unrest. Yet concerns about the policing of London 2012 remain, say Joseph Alexander and Dominic Taylor.
With regards to the Olympics and how the policing is going to affect younger people, I think it will probably be, sadly, in a negative way.
the difficulty with an event like the Olympics for policing is that any country, any city wants to put its best foot forward. It wants to show its best side. So therefore you have one kind of cleanup. I think that that's the particular concern leading up to the Olympics, is that the thing that is already going badly will go worse.
Hey, yeah, this is Furious George signing in and signing out to throw away this crazy thing called the Ho-lympics. Look, if you're furious about that and some other stuff, check out wcomfm.org or furiousg.blogspot.com. Some of my old shows are on wcomfm.org or furiousg.blogspot. Anyway, we've been spotlighting the problems with the Olympics and some other crap going on over there with London Town, which actually we'll be traveling to not too long. Having some crazy times, so I'll report back, but definitely not going for the Olympics. Going there for a crazy wedding. My cousin's getting married. Listen, this is micro-powered community-based radio. You know what that means. We got all kinds of crazy, freaky DJs in here like Furious George, and coming up next is your crazy man himself, the Grizzle Master, Audacious Bass. You know what it means. I'm Furious. Thanks for listening. Oh, yeah, this is in the background, Flying Lotus, his London mix. We've also been throwing some new stuff in from the brand new DJ Nobody mix from the Low End Theory that just came out, episode 22. If you like what you're hearing, keep doing it. We're going to keep our going over here. I'm Furious.
Naturally born, born bad, born bad, born bad. Next. Lord knows I ain't the one to test. You